All right, let's pray. Father God, help us to see you today. Help us to hear you today. And give us the heart that wants to follow you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus, our shepherd and king. Well, most of us have had children, not all of us, but most of us have. Do you remember when your children were born? Or even if you haven't had children, you visited someone that just had their baby. The first time you held them in your arms, do you remember the emotions and feelings that you had as you stared at them in wonder, amazement, and love? I'm sure it was a very special and precious moment that we will treasure for the rest of our lives. And of course, 2,000 years ago, it just doesn't seem to be working. If you go on to the next one, we'll have to sort this out. But anyway, there we go. All right. 2,000 years ago, of course, it was Mary and Joseph's terms as they experienced the precious moment when Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Of course, at Christmas time, we remember and celebrate the birth of Jesus because he's so much more than just Mary and Joseph's son. He is the very Son of God who came into our world to save those who believe in him. And of course, we know he came to save us, as Alex talked about in his communion message. But more than that, to remove any barrier between us and him, so that we can be with him and we can be in relationship with him. When our babies are born, of course, they're extremely vulnerable. They rely on us for their very survival. Have we learnt to trust in our own resources and abilities? Or are we looking to God, our Saviour and Jesus, for our survival? The fact is, in Australia, the majority of people are trying to create comfortable lives for themselves without God. They think that they're achieving it and they don't have to worry about anything. And, for example, there's many retirees travelling around Australia in their nice RVs or towing a big caravan in their retirement. But what about when something comes along they can't cope with? It might be a sickness, or even something like someone stole their hard-earned investments that they thought were going to set them up for life. There are so many things that can happen in life that crash in on us and change our lives in an instant. I remember when I was very young, before I think I started school. I was 5 years, so I might have started school. I was in my first year at school. And my grandfather was 65, mum's father. He'd sold part of his farm, a farm up near Houghton in the hills, to be able to start slowing down and thinking about what he would do next. He was sort of semi-retired, I guess you'd say. He was chatting to his neighbour over the fence about future plans. Bam! A massive heart attack. Took him out mid-sentence. Just like that, gone. Next year, Dad's mum and dad both turned 65. My grandfather was planning to retire. They'd booked a cruise to the Pacific Islands, but 1 month before they were due to go, Nana said she wasn't feeling too well and just went to lay down, had a massive heart attack and died. We can make plans, but only God knows our futures. Remember the story in the Bible of the rich farmer who had a bumper harvest and thought he'd build a bigger barn to store it all. Thought that was a great plan. Thinking he would set that, then he'd be set for life and he could then take it easy. But what did God have to say about that? God said to him, "You fool! You will die this very night. Then who will get everything you've worked for? Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth but not have a rich relationship with God. In the end, we all die, and there's nothing we can do about that. But there is something we can do here and now in our present life that will change our eternal destination forever. We can give our lives to Jesus, as most of us have done, but are we following him and giving him everything we've got? Not just our lives, but our families, our possessions, plans, hopes, dreams, worries, anxieties. Remember the old hymn, I surrender all. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender. I surrender all. We sing it, but do we really mean it? The only way we can do this is to follow our true shepherd and King Jesus and keep our eyes fixed on him, not on the troubles, dangers and snares that surround us. We must follow where he leads, learn to hear and understand his voice and answer his call. Psalm 23 is a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He doesn't need anything else. Just his Lord and shepherd. I think there'd be something that needed to be added onto that. But no, he's trusting in God for everything. Because Jesus is our shepherd and king. Jesus has been revealed as the true shepherd of God's people, as prophesied hundreds of years before his arrival in Bethlehem. In Matthew 2, verses 5 and 6, when the wise men from the east came looking for the newborn king of the Jews in Jerusalem to worship him, wanting to find out where he was, the priests and teachers of the law told them, this is what they told them, in Bethlehem in Judea, they said, that's where you find him. For this is what the prophet wrote, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler will come from you, who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. And they're quoting from the prophet Micah in chapters 5, verses 2 and 4. And Micah expands a little bit further, actually. So here's verse 2. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans or rulers of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler or king over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. And then verse 4, he will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord. He's not relying on his own strength, he's trusting in the strength of the Lord. In the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth. We look for many things to give us security, a house, possessions, jobs, whatever it is, family. But the only true security is found in Jesus. And then, of course, it alludes to the Great Commission at the end of Matthew, that he will be preached to the ends of the earth, to all nations and languages, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth. And remember what the Archangel Gabriel said to Mary about Jesus in Luke 1, verse 32 to 33. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. This is a fulfillment of what Nathan had prophesied to David back in 2 Samuel chapter 7 and down in verse 16. Your house and your kingdom will continue before me for all time, and your throne will be secure forever. It was David the shepherd boy whom God turned into the shepherd of his people. In 2 Samuel chapter 5 here, the Israelites came to David to make him king over them and said to him, "And the Lord told you." In other words, you better follow what he says. "You will be," now it's convenient that we want it, "you will be the shepherd of my people Israel. You will be Israel's leader or king." David's life was like a foreshadowing of Jesus, who is the true and everlasting king and shepherd of God's people. Jesus is the fulfillment of all the promises made to David and Israel. Here are some of the remarkable parallels in their lives between David and Jesus, which of course are not coincidental. They were ordained by God. I mean, it would be impossible for someone to try and live their life to match David like this. Of course, they were both born in Bethlehem. David was a shepherd over his father's sheep. And Jesus, of course, was welcomed into the world and first worshipped by shepherds. Both were anointed to be king. David was anointed by king to be king by Samuel, and Jesus was anointed king, Son of God, by his Father God, who said, "This is my dearly loved Son. With you I am well pleased." And in other gospel it says, "Who brings me great joy," when he was baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan River. Both were sent out as soon as they were anointed by God. They were both sent out to face the enemy. So David to face Goliath, and Jesus was sent out into the wilderness to conquer the greatest enemies, the temptation to sin by listening to and believing in another word apart from God. In other words, listening to Satan, who opposes God. He then paid for all humanity's sins on the cross and overcame the final enemy of death when he arose from the grave. Thank you, Jesus, our King and Saviour. Both were persecuted, David by Saul and Jesus by the religious leaders of his time who orchestrated his death on the cross. They were both betrayed on the Mount of Olives. David by Ahithophel, his trusted advisor, who sided with his son Absalom, and Jesus by Judas, who betrayed Jesus with a kiss to the Jewish leaders for 30 pieces of silver. As an aside, both Ahithophel and Judas both hanged themselves in their shame. Both David and Jesus proclaimed, my God, why have you forsaken me?" David wrote it in Psalm 22, verse 1, and of course Jesus cried that out on the cross. Both showed amazing forgiveness and mercy to their enemies. David to Saul and others like Shimei and Saul's son Mephibosheth. And of course, Jesus offers forgiveness to all who believe in what he did on the cross. Both were pronounced shepherds over Israel. David is known as the shepherd king, and Jesus is the good shepherd and the King of Kings. They both had a heart to build God's temple. David planned the temple in Jerusalem that was built by his son Solomon. Jesus has made us into living stones to build his temple, his church, in which he dwells through his Holy Spirit. David's reign was temporary, but his son Jesus reigns eternally. Where David failed, Jesus has succeeded, because he not only did what he saw his father doing, but he did what his father told him. So if you were to sum up both their lives by some key points, both born in Bethlehem, both anointed by the Spirit of God, both sent out to defeat the enemy, they both suffer, and then they both reign. Keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, our shepherd and king. I recall when I was a small child, I was distracted by something. I was in a shop with my mum, and I saw something. I was distracted, and I went over to have a look, and I was checking it out, and probably a toy, I would imagine. I can't remember what it was, but then I remember looking around, and my mum wasn't there anymore. There was lots of people in the shop. Maybe it was Christmas, like this time of year. And I couldn't find my mum anywhere. And then panic set in. I was in complete fear and panic about, where's my mum? Because I felt completely vulnerable in the world. And I think there's no coincidence that Jesus calls himself the shepherd and we're the sheep. Because without Jesus, we are largely clueless about what's going on in the world around us and quickly lose our ability to discern right from wrong. We can so easily descend into immorality, division and hate when we go our own way and leave our loving shepherd. You know, I think it's important, the flock analogy as well, because one of the things that Jesus asks of us is for unity. He prays to his Father for unity, that the flock stays together for their protection. It's essential to keep our eyes firmly fixed on Jesus, because when we lose sight of him, we lose our way. There are so many ways and means that the devil is trying to use to bind us with fear, with all the dangers and uncertainty that's coming on the world, or lead us into temptation that will ensnare us and pull us away from Jesus. For each person, temptation is a different thing, or what we're going to get distracted by, the things that will entrap us. And they're often things that aren't inherently or evil or bad in themselves, but when we prioritise them above God and put them before God in importance, they become idols for us. For example, if we only experience joy when our team wins, or feel peace when watching our favourite TV show, or know the fun of adventure through video games, or think we will be secure when we have enough money, or successful when we have enough of what we want, we are worshipping idols. If we have a look at this picture, I hope you can see it back there, but these sheep got their eyes firmly on Jesus, because you can see all around them there's flames, there's danger. It'd be so easy for them to look at the flames beside them and suddenly go into a panic. But they're trusting in Jesus. And the verse here, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Hang on, you've been talking about keeping your eyes on Jesus. And now you're saying walk by faith, not by sight. No, not by our sight. When we're keeping our eyes firmly on Jesus, that's walking by faith. By trusting him and where he's going, despite what's going on around us, despite the flames that are trying to consume us, the trouble in the world, the distractions of life. We walk by faith, not by sight. So, today's verse, the Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. There's nothing else. Another way we could put this, when Jesus is our shepherd, he will provide us with everything that we need. Often we think we need other things, but nevertheless, he is all we need. Do we believe that he will give us everything that we need? Because if we don't, then Jesus isn't the shepherd of our lives, is he? What are we focusing on instead? As the song says, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. All you have to do is turn your eyes upon Jesus and focus on him. But we've got ears as well. We can hear Jesus, our shepherd's voice. So listen, not just with our ears and our minds, but take what Jesus says into our hearts and treasure it like Mary did. Many promises and prophecies have been spoken of over Jesus and the joy of the shepherds coming at his birth. And Luke 2:19 says, but Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. If we haven't taken Jesus' words to heart, we haven't truly heard him. It's interesting that when we add the symbol of the cross to here, onto the end of here, what do we get? Heart. We get the word heart. We need to go a bit further than just hearing to get to the heart. So what are some of the ways that we can listen and hear what he's really saying to us? Of course, through his word. And let his spirit speak through his words. In our quiet times, make time to listen. Remember, Elijah didn't hear from God in the windstorm or the earthquake or fire, but in a gentle whisper. It's not in our busyness or the tumult of life that we hear from God, but when we've made the time and had the patience to wait for his coming and listen carefully, otherwise we might miss his whisper. God also speaks to us through other godly people whom he chooses to speak into our lives through prophetic words, wisdom and knowledge. Seek to understand what he's saying to you. Weigh it up. Compare it with the scriptures. Seek wise counsel to make sure and confirm that what you've heard is from God and that you understand what he's saying to you and what he requires of you. Many of you are here when I was thinking about going into ministry and Pastor Hans came. I'd never met him before. He said, I feel like I've got a word for you, that not what you're doing is wrong, but God, I feel God's saying he wants you to unplug from what you're doing and plug into something else that he's got for you, and it's going to be better. And I can honestly say, looking back, you know, I didn't mind selling cars. To be honest, I was getting a bit sick of it, but... But now I find what I'm doing much more enjoyable than what I did before, even though it's harder, and more fulfilling as well. I feel like I'm doing something that's more purposeful. So what do we need to do to follow Jesus? Put our faith in Jesus, our shepherd and king. Keep our eyes on him, listen to him, and obey him. So let's go and follow Jesus. Amen.